I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which really is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one preached to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now, and I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than that you accepted, let them be under a curse. Never started out a sermon like this. It's a silly thing to do, to be honest. I feel silly. Quite honestly, I feel weird, feels uneasy, to be honest. But it's to illustrate maybe a greater purpose, a greater lesson. You see, those in and around Galatia, a town in Galatia and around, were being taught something different than Paul had originally taught. You see, they were freed, and we're going to read in a moment, they were freed to be freed. But yet, they were hearing a different gospel, one that would put them back in chains again. Today we celebrate the independence of an incredible, wonderful country. Even greater, we celebrate independence from sin and separation from sin that came from Jesus Christ. Today, if you're not in Christ, this message is for you. This message is for you who have been bound in sin for all too long. Today, if you are in Christ, this message is for you. Because quite possibly, this is you today. Though you've been freed from Christ, you've been chained again. You see, the church in Galatia and the surrounding, the Judean Christians were teaching them and telling them that they had to be circumcised to be able to be saved. They were telling them they had to do this and that, and the main thing was circumcision, but that there was a list of steps that they had to do to earn salvation. They even had a pretty cute card that was blue on top as you walked in the synagogues that said the things you had to do to be saved. And Paul had to address that because it was killing the church. And I think today, if we don't address this, we're killing the church. We celebrate freedom. LJ, I hope these work. Not all handcuffs work like that. I can't preach a whole sermon, okay? Being bound. There was law. Law was given, I mean, even in the very beginning. You remember when God told Adam and Eve, you have everything except for that tree in the middle of the garden. You can't eat from that one. I mean, just don't do that. You cannot do that. And that was a law. That was a rule. Then there were laws given at various other times. There were some laws around the time of Noah that were given. And then we had the law, and what we call the law. And it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. There were 613 some odd commands from God that were the law that were passed down. And honestly, God gave them for a reason. They were given so that, number one, the whole purpose really of the law was to tell people, to show people that they were sinners. And so that when Pam sinned, God had a law there, and she knew that she had crossed that law, and she knew that she was a sinner. And that's how what God did for us through the law. The only problem with that, and God knew this, God was not unaware that we would not be able to fulfill everything in the law. But because of this, we were chained, we were bound, in our sin. We were bound in the things that we did that were wrong. And so we lived a life, and they lived a life, and they knew that they could not escape this because they had sinned over and over again. And so this morning, just for a moment, I want to talk about freedom. I want to talk about freedom through the gospel and what freedom is, what freedom means, and what the gospel is, and what the gospel means to us. For a moment, let me talk about what the gospel is not. What the gospel is not to us. The gospel is not working all by yourself to make yourself salvageable. I think a lot of times we think that. We think, God, I didn't do enough for you this week. I didn't worship you enough this week. I skipped church, God, this week, and I didn't pray enough this week. And I got mad at those people who didn't stop at the four-way stops, which nobody ever does. And it aggravates me if you haven't figured that out by now. And I call them a bad name, and I don't do that, but I think about it, which is just as bad. And God, I didn't do what I was supposed to do this week. A wonderful lady came into the office last week. She wanted to talk about our signs, and I thought we were in trouble. I thought we'd put one up there that was not very good. I thought we put one up there that was mean, and I got to thinking of the different signs I had done and what could I have done. But she came in, and she said, that sign that said, and mid-80s, I think she was, I was going to take whatever God gave to me through her. She said that sign that said, smile, Jesus loves you. She said, my husband died. It was 3 years ago. She said, I so miss him. I think, Lindsay, it was 63, 64 years they'd been married. Might not be right, but long time. Then she said this. I hope that I can live a life that I get to see him again. That, family, is not the gospel. The gospel is never presented in a way that says you have to somehow work for yourself so that somehow in the end, if you did just enough, you can live with him in the end and see those who have gone on before you. That is not the gospel. The gospel is not about what we do. It's not about our action. Never is the gospel about us making ourselves salvageable to God. And praise God for that. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to do enough, be able to do enough. The gospel is not about working yourself all by yourself to make yourself salvageable. The gospel is also not church. It is not worship. It is not this gathering right here. It is not us living and singing and gathering in worship, as important as this is. And there's not a person in here that would advocate for worship more than I do. I love worship. We were talking about the girls this week. I can't imagine not seeing my family in a week. I like you guys. Most of you. No, I do. I like you guys. And I like it when we get to see each other, even if we don't talk very much or even if we don't talk at all. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is not Bible class. Doug had a good class today. Oscar probably had a good class. We have fantastic Bible class teachers. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is not your preachers, your elders, or your teachers. We're not the gospel. We try to do things the right way. We try to lead you in the right way. We try to be good examples in the right way. But we're not the gospel. And the gospel is not a balanced approach. It was Muhammad who said, when he dies, if the good things are greater or outweigh the bad things in his life. In other words, if he does more good things in his life versus the bad things in his life, then he gets to go to heaven, or we all get to go to heaven. That, family, is not the gospel as well. And maybe we could talk a lot about what the gospel is not. There's nothing freeing. There's no freedom in that kind of gospel. And I'm afraid we've taught it for a long time. Not only that, I'm afraid we've lived it for a long time. I remember my grandmother saying, I hope when I die, I get to go to heaven. I loved my grandmother. Precious soul. But she was in Christ and she was going to heaven. It's not about hoping that we get there. What is the gospel? If you've never been to church, if you've never heard what the gospel is, it's good news. It's what Mark talks about, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ at the beginning of Mark chapter 1. It's good news. It's good news for families. I mean, can't we use some good news? Can we use some good news in this world? I mean, this world's going to hell in a handbasket, and we need good news. Can I say that in church, Doug? Maybe. Okay, I did anyway. It's on record. This world is lost, and we need good news. And if you're single, the gospel is good news. And if you're a widow or a widower, the gospel is good news. If you've lost somebody in this world, the gospel is good news. If you can't seem to get a leg up in life, and the gospel is good news, and we need to understand that when we come to the gospel, it's good. Everything is good. Every once in a while, I'll give you my last two Starbucks orders. One of the greatest things to order at Starbucks, and you can be wrong all you want if you disagree, but is a mocha cookie crumble crunch frappuccino. Absolutely the best thing. Two times ago, it was full of so much chocolate you couldn't enjoy the thing. It just wasn't, I mean, I like chocolate. Sabrina and I got one yesterday, and it was good. That's this world. This world sometimes, you get something that's good, and you get something that's not good. The gospel's always good. And so when you come to the gospel, when we talk about the gospel, we're talking about something that is good. And when you bring in your children, raising your children up, it's good. And when you're going to college, it's good. The gospel is always good news. One of the greater things and part of the good news about the gospel is that it's free from annual reminders. The Hebrew writer would write this in Hebrews chapter 10. It says the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it could never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of their sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And so every time in the Old Testament, every time before Christ came, every time before this gospel, this good news, they were reminded that they still had chains, that they were still lost. Every time they would have the Day of Atonement sacrifice, they were reminded, oh yeah, we're still lost. We're waiting for something still. We're still sinners. And so that every year, year after year after year, I can't get on top. I can't get over this stuff. I can't get over the sin that I have in my life. The blood of bulls and goats was never intended to forgive sins. Not only was it never intended, it can't do it. So every year they would have to have sacrifices for their sins to maintain a relationship with God. The Hebrew writer would write later on, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Almost, not almost, but a losing battle. But then it says, when this priest, speaking of Jesus Christ, had offered for all time one sacrifice, he sat down at the right hand of God. What does that mean, he sat down? That means he's done. That means he doesn't have to get up and do it again. The priest would go over and over and over in their sacrifices. They would have all sorts of stuff to do. They would, day after day after day, they would be reminded, and God's people would be reminded that they were sinners. But the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ came to give one time for all times a sacrifice. That's the gospel. And so we're not reminded of our sins. There's not a sacrifice that means I sinned again and I have to be sacrificed again. And so you don't have to live your life. Well, when I die, maybe, possibly, I might get to go to heaven. Because when Jesus came, when the great priest came, one time for all time, a sacrifice was made for sins that did cleanse us from our sins. So if you've never been in Jesus Christ, if you've never walked in Jesus Christ, there's an opportunity for you here. There's an opportunity for you to give your life to Christ, to surrender to Him, and to believe in Jesus Christ today. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today there's an opportunity for you to give your life to Him because He sacrificed once for all. And praise God that we don't have to be reminded of our sins. Amen? They're not looking you in the face. The only thing that does that is us. You know that, don't you? The only thing that makes us be reminded of our sins is us. We're reminded of the things that we do wrong. You've done things and you've gone places and you've been there and you've done that to a certain person and you remember all over again what you did. That's not God. One time for all time. That's the good news. That's what sets us free. But as the gospel, it's a good news. It's released from annual reminders of our sins, and it's free. Paul would write to the church in Ephesus, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourself. It is a gift from God." Let me read that again. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God." It's a gift given to you. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Robert can't say, "God, look what I've done for you. I know you've got to save me now." Robert would never say that, but we can't. It's not about, "God, I've been to church all my life." You know what we consider a faithful member when somebody says at the end of their life and we're doing a celebration of life ceremony and we say, "Sister so-and-so was a faithful Christian." Do you know what we meant? Or those who are not faithful, do you know what we mean? That means they don't come here. That's what we're kind of referring to. This is part of who we are, but this is not the gospel, family. The gospel is a gift that God has given to us and He's given it to you. You didn't do anything for this. You didn't walk in any way. You weren't good enough. A lot of times people wait, "I wait till I get my life together before I come to Christ." Why? Why do you do that? Why do we do that? Christ came because you were broken, not because you were kind of good. And that's what the Bible says, right? I mean, possibly for a good person, someone would dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us, that while we were still rotten, no good, horrible, bad sinners, Christ died for us. It was free. Hold tight for a second. You don't have to work for it. Can we say that? You don't have to perform for Jesus Christ. You don't have to have your life together to come to Him. It's free. It's not the amount of attendances that you come to church. You don't have to be just right with God. It's not a list of things to do to be saved. There's not a list of steps. I know this is going to hurt. There's not a list of steps that we take to get to heaven. Heaven was a gift given to us. I don't often like our steps of salvation. And I'll tell you this. What happens when somebody hears to confess and they read in the Bible, "Confess, you'll be saved"? There's no more steps, right? We have to be careful with our language and how we talk about what it takes to come to Jesus Christ. Of course, you have to receive a gift. You can give me a gift. Bob can give me a brand new whatever. But I've got to receive it, okay? We're not there. I'm not talking about that. This is a free gift. That's the gospel. And we have to teach people that. It's free, not of themselves. Paul would not have said it if it wasn't true. What is the gospel? It's good news. It's not having an annual reminder of our sins. It's free, free gift for us to take. It means no condemnation. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. Paul's struggling with everything, and he talks about his struggle in his letter to the church in Rome, and he says, I do the things I do not do, even though I know I should not do the things I should not do. I do them anyway, and he's just back and forth and back and forth. Sorry, Susan, that's hard to interpret. I don't do the things I know I shouldn't do. There's a struggle there. What a wretched man am I? Who's going to save me? He says, thanks be to God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he has this to say. If you're in Christ, this is so vital. I'm not even watching our time. How's about time? Someone told me I went long. I said, I can't control the Spirit, all right? I am not the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let that sink in. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You can like a sign on our board out here, but you don't have to say, I hope when I die I get to go to meet my loved one. There's no condemnation. You cannot be condemned. You cannot lose, other than your own rejection, the gospel. You cannot lose Jesus Christ in Jesus Christ. The devil cannot remove you in Jesus Christ. You cannot lose your salvation in Jesus Christ. Are we hearing what the Bible's saying? You cannot lose salvation in Jesus Christ. In other words, he can't rip you out of salvation. The devil can't tempt you out of Jesus Christ. Your brother, your sister, your neighbor can't pull you out and condemn you in Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about being in Jesus, and when we invite you, when Doug and I invite you to be baptized, to place your faith in him, to be baptized into Jesus Christ, that's why. Because in this world, you can be pulled this way and that way and tugged this way and that way. But what Paul says to the church in Rome is that there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And I think we need to know that, because I think we put these on all too long, all too often. I think we chain ourselves with what I've done and who I've been and the way I've done things in life. John would say, "Those, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have forgiveness of your sins." It's the freest, greatest gift ever. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. Because, okay, you don't believe me? I mean, the Bible's saying it. If you don't believe the Bible, we'll have to have a discussion. Because through Jesus Christ, the one there's no condemnation in, through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is you sin, you die. All right? That's simple. That's the law of sin and death. And so all of us who have sinned, we've died. But all of us who have given our life to Jesus Christ and believed in him, been washed in him, we've been set free from that law. So no longer is it when you sin, you die. We had a conversation at Sunset, and a brother, we were talking hypotheticals, which I hate hypotheticals, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. We were talking about if you died in sin. What if somebody was drunk and they crashed into a telephone pole and they died immediately before they were able to ask God, forgive me for being drunk and driving into this telephone pole? And it was a serious conversation, folks. And he said he will die and burn in hell. And I thought, whoo, what do you mean? Somebody in Christ? Yeah, but that's a big sin, right? Oh, it is. It's right up there with gossip and hatred and malicious talk and all those things that we should never do. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. You sin, you die, we've been set free from that. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of Christ. If you're not in Jesus Christ, if you're here, if you're on the Facebook, or if you're listening on the radio, that's the power of the gospel. You're set free from that. If I sin, I'm condemned. That's the power of the blood, once for all time. You're not reminded of your sins. You don't have to say, oh, I did bad today. I need to make sure I confess. I need to make sure I do this, because Christ set us free from that. We're to walk in Him. And that's a whole different story, and we're going to talk about that next week. What happens because of the gospel? What happens because we've been set free? What happens because we're no longer under the law of sin and death? How do we live then? We're going to talk about that next week, unless you want to hang around for a little bit. Okay, for what the law was powerless to do, the Bible says, it was weakened by the flesh. God did by sending His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering and to condemn sin in the flesh. That's powerful. He condemned sin in the flesh. That's why there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. He condemned it. It no longer is. Satan no longer has a hold on you. You're like, preacher, you don't understand what I'm tempted with. Maybe not. But sin doesn't have free reign on you. Remember Job and God in the Bible? And God said, you can do this, this, and this, but you can't take his life. That's Satan now. It's kind of like the dog on the end of a rope, the dog on the end of a chain, and he can only come so far. He's been limited in his power and what he can do. In Jesus Christ, you are free, brothers and sisters. In Jesus Christ, you can walk again. In Jesus Christ, you can be happy again. In Jesus Christ, there is no bondage, and that is the gospel. So why this? Why every time do we do this? Let's go back to Galatia. In the letter that Paul wrote to the church, we're told different things they had to be do in order to be acceptable to God. He said this to them. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's why he died. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. That was the reason. He would say, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again in the yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, you want to know how to fall from Jesus Christ as a follower of Jesus Christ? Listen to this. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Now, what was going on? They were saying you had to be circumcised in order to be able to be acceptable to God. In order to have full relationship with God, you had to do this. And he said, if you do that, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You want to do it? Keep all the laws. Every one of them, 613 laws. You who are trying to be justified by the law have alienated yourself from Christ. Listen to this. You want to talk about falling away from Christ? You want to talk about falling and losing your salvation? That's what it says. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressed itself through love. Did you hear that? Circumcision or uncircumcision, no matter where you're at on this map, he's writing to the church who was dealing with a lot that we don't deal with. But I think it applies to us today. No matter where you're at in life, no matter where you feel, whether you're progressive or conservative or somewhere in the middle or falling off the deep end on either side, nothing of that matters. What matters is our faith expressing itself in love in Jesus Christ. And I know that's hard for us to take. Because we like to take steps, right? We like to do this and this and this and this to earn favor with God. But what Paul is saying here is that doesn't matter. You were running a good race, he said, who cut in on you to keep you from attaining, obeying the truth. You know what obeying the truth is? Who did it? What kind of persuasion? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Why do we do this? Why do we put this on over and over and over again? That does not come from God. That does not come from the one who saved us. That's the gospel. And if you are in Christ today, you are free. You're free. Don't yoke yourself in bondage again. Don't put these on again. You've been set free. And if you're here or on the radio or on Facebook, you're free in Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you've never received the gospel, you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, which is not our act. I mean, I know we're doing something, but it's not our act. It's an act of God clearing our conscience. It's acts of salvation that comes from God. And if you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, why are you waiting? The gospel is ready. The gospel is here. I know this is church, and we do church, and we offer invitations, and we sing songs, and we say prayers, and we do communion, but listen to me. If you're here today, come to Jesus Christ. If you're here today and haven't given your life to Him, if you're here today and haven't walked in Jesus Christ and professed your faith in Him, why are you waiting? Today's the day. I'm going to stand out in front, and we're going to sing a song, an invitation song, and I'm going to invite you to come down front. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, don't wait. It's free. He's given it to you. All you got to do is take it. No embarrassment. No waiting until you get your life straight. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ today, I want to invite you to, I hope to make it that clear. I want you to come down in front and join me in giving your life to Him, professing your faith in Jesus Christ. Because that's freedom. That's freedom we can all live with. Let's stand and sing, "Come if you need Jesus Christ."